On today's episode, our producer and technical guru, Rex Polanis, joins Liz and me, and we have a great discussion about an important topic, in-laws. Whether you're just getting to know your in-laws or you've had a relationship for years, relationships with extended family can be tricky and even terrifying, but we've got all kinds of tips and advice to help you navigate the in-law relationships around the holidays or any other time of year. We hope you enjoy the show. Hey there, friends. Welcome to another episode of the Stronger Marriage Connection podcast. I'm Dr. Dave here at Utah State University alongside Dr. Liz Hale, our licensed clinical psychologist. And you know what? We have a special podcast episode today. We're bringing in, you know him. This is Rex Polanis. He is our behind the scenes guru. We've had Rex kind of pop in and out on some of these episodes, but we thought, you know what? On the topic that we're going to be discussing today, which is in-laws, we thought it would be great to have all our perspectives. We have different experiences and backgrounds. Mm-hmm. And we thought it would be good to kind of bounce this topic, especially the holiday time of year, to get some tips and some pointers and some perspectives really on the topic of in-laws. So let's kick it off. Liz, what do you think?
Mm-hmm. I love this topic. In-laws, not outlaws, right?
Yeah.
Because we all came from families, and you know, I gotta tell you, I don't know how many of our listeners are Christian, but you know, I was at a family dinner last night, and a cousin reminded me that in the New Testament, it talks about Jesus Christ having siblings. It mentions some of the brothers and that he had sisters, plural. And it's just really made me think that we were all set up to be in families. We've all come from families. And that's maybe some of our greatest learning. So already I have a little bit of a different thought about families. My family is different than your family, than your family, Rex. But when we marry someone, we don't just marry an individual, we marry a family. And that family has its own rules and idiosyncrasies and great points as well. Well, first off, let's just give credit, should we, to Dr. John Gottman, who says that every marriage is a cross-cultural experience. Even when we come from the same culture, it's still a cross-cultural experience. And then together, we create this brand new culture that never before existed. Well, as you know, Dave and Rex, the holidays bring opportunities to spend time with our extended families, including our blessed in-laws. Thank you for joining us today. We have some feelings and insight about in-laws, don't we? Do tell, Rex, what is your insight for starters?
Well, I really thought what you said there, that Dr. Gottman had said, was really profound, that it really is true that when you get married, you're even though you're both coming from different cultures, you're making your own, you're mixing together and making a whole new thing.
That's a great point.
And I definitely agree that we are meant to be in families. That is I totally agree with that. As for in-laws, what's the old joke? What's the difference between in-laws and outlaws?
What's that?
Outlaws are wanted.
You know, here's the joke. Well, here's the real joke, guys, is that you and I, or the three of us, we are also in-laws, right?
Yeah.
So what kind of in-law do we want to be? Anyway, we can talk more about that too. Go ahead, Rex. I want to hear more.
Oh yeah. For sure. I love my in-laws. When I grew up, I had a very close relationship with my grandfather. And I'm really glad that my kids get to have that too with my wife's parents. They're just a joy to be with my kids.
Aww. And when people are good to your kids, that just warms your whole soul, doesn't it? Nothing better.
Yeah. I have wonderful memories playing with my grandfather. And when I sit and watch them, I totally get to see that from a different perspective.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Yeah, it is. I too, I'm like you, Rex. I'm so grateful for my in-laws, really at all the levels, my brother's in-law, my sister's in-law. I really do get along with all of them. We've never really had any issues. We had a big family party last night and we can just laugh and be ourselves. There's no drama, but I know for a lot of families, that is not the case, that when things get together, I've had close friends talk to me about the situation, especially around the holidays when they're traveling and they're spending days and nights and even a week or more with their in-laws, and it can just be suffocating. And they're like, it's struggle with this personality or that personality, or I never get to see my wife because she's off doing this or that. So I know that there are some struggles that people have. And we have some tips. Liz, you want to kick us off with some of these tips that we have for these managing better in-law relationships?
Sure, Dave. You know, I think it's that whole concept, isn't it, of leaving and cleaving. So even though we marry each other's families to a certain extent, there is that opportunity of leaving that family of origin and creating this new family unit that we have. So leaving and cleaving, first things first, right? Our own relationship comes before all others. And that can be quite a leap when you're so used to responding to parents and going along with maybe what makes them happy. All of a sudden, it's like, wow, I've got somebody else to consider first. Always speak respectfully and kindly to your partner about their family. I don't know what it is, but typically for most people, I might be able to say some derogatory things about my family and frustration, but boy, my partner can't. And that doesn't go for everyone, but it's just even good practice, isn't it? Because I've noticed one thing, Dave and Rex, whatever comes out of my mouth, not only is my partner hearing or anyone around me, but my own inner ear is hearing it. And it changes my heart. So for better or for worse, speak kindly, because you just don't get too far with the other. Do you agree?
Yeah, go ahead, Rick.
I agree. Especially with children. Jesse and I kind of agree about some of the idiosyncrasies between our families, but the one thing that we try not to do is speak poorly of them in front of our children. We always try to focus on the positive and have positive energy and positive interactions, because I think that's so important for my kids, and just to have good holiday interactions and stuff like that. So I definitely agree.
Yeah, I do too. It's putting each other first. And I think sometimes at the family parties, people get laughing and criticize, and then all of a sudden there may be a comment that is said that's maybe a little crass or a little rude or crude. Maybe the brothers and brothers-in-law are over here kind of talking, and maybe sisters-in-law are over here talking, and there may be some things said, but it should never come between you two. So even in jest, the kind of the joking around type of stuff can be painful underneath. So priority, you've got to make your couple relationship a priority, even at kind of this family fun types of events, for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It kind of lends itself to, first things first, to maybe speak up for your spouse. And that's not an easy thing to do when we leave and cleave. Suddenly I am their representative. I'm their protector if I need to be. And I need to have the courage to say, probably time out, brother Charlie. That wasn't quite so funny. Something, especially if it's poking fun at our partner. So the next one is to get curious, not furious, right? When you're with your in-laws, bring an open curiosity to your family gatherings and learn about your spouse, learn about your in-laws, and you'll even learn about yourself as you extend that deeper understanding that lends itself to creating a deeper connection also with your family. What do you guys think about that? Get curious, not furious at these family events.
I'm always one to start conversations with the whenever there's celebrations or stuff going on, and I'm always curious about what's going on in their lives and what they're thinking and their opinions about stuff, and discussing things in a tone that's not confrontational, or like you said, just get curious, be curious. It's always nice too when somebody's asking my opinion. Oh, what do you think about this? And being safe and feeling comfortable to share it, that there's not going to be judgment or harsh back and forth, or just a respectful, oh, wow, that I didn't think of that perspective. So I agree. I think that's a good, good way to approach those interactions. How about you, Dave?
Yeah. This one, especially I would say the first few years of that relationship and that marriage, you're going to in-laws, you're talking with a brother-in-law that you don't know very well, or the mother-in-law, whatever the case may be, give them the greatest gift. And that's not a present. That is your attention. That's your genuine interest, that you're asking questions. You're genuinely interested. And don't talk about yourself the entire time, or don't jump in and disagree. Here's a little example. I won't name names on any of this one. But some people, they like to put up their Christmas trees. We're one of those, like the day after Halloween, right? And my wife, we're huge.
I get it.
So that's for us. And we love doing that. And now another family that I know pretty well, and there's someone that's dating their daughter. And so they're not even in-laws yet, but so they're dating. And he just said, oh, my goodness, you know, why do you do that kind of a thing? And, oh, you're one of those type of people. And I just immediately that puts up this wall, and you don't want to take off your in-laws like ever. And so if listeners, be respectful, get curious, listen, give them attention. Even if you disagree with something and your favorite team, right? Ours is the 49ers and my in-laws are actually the Cowboys. And so we do some of this. It's gentle and it's fun. But early on, just be wise, get curious and interested and slow to get defensive and criticize.
Yeah.
Or criticize.
Yeah.
And getting curious with that comment. Help me understand. Oh, tell me more about why that is so offensive to put that up the day after Halloween. I'm so curious. What do you think that means? What does that mean about us? I'm so curious how we are some of those kind of people. You know what I mean? I could get really curious, like, tell me more, also without the defensiveness.
Yes, both sides.
I still want to know what you mean by that. I may not change my way, but tell me more.
Yes, I love that, Liz.
Yeah, wanting to know why, I think, is really important, rather than just jumping to, oh, that's silly, or I don't like that. It's trying to understand why people do certain things, because there can be a lot of enlightenment there when you do that. I have a friend, yeah, that totally, he posts all the time on Facebook. Oh, he gets very upset if there's Christmas music before December 1st.
It's like, it's very personal. I know it. Mm-hmm. And we play Christmas music every Sunday at my house. It just is. Again, and that's like been one of those things that it's kind of hard for me to say. I just said it out loud. Because there are so many personal feelings about Christmas, about the whins and the whys and the hows and what's too early.
I could probably listen to Silent Night every day. I mean, I don't, but that is one song I love that I don't think I could ever get tired of.
Yeah.
I love that too.
So what's next, Liz?
Leaning in, you know, instead of taking a backseat at your family gathering and kind of waiting for the fun to happen to you, brainstorm ways to bring the fun to the party. Maybe you come up with a fun game idea or a clever, inexpensive toy that everyone might enjoy. Last night at our family Christmas party, one of them anyway, Santa came in with a bag, and inside his bag was this cute ring for kids, and you turn it on and it blinks. It was just so fun. Mine was of a little cabin with snow, and it was just cute. I love that. Another colleague of mine asked her in-laws if they were open to having a pie decorating contest at one of their holiday get-togethers. Everyone liked the idea, and everybody brought different ingredients. Well, it was a huge hit, and it actually did mend a few gaps that existed between them. And that's what play does. It's a healer and a connector. Have you noticed that?
Yeah, definitely lean in. Whenever I've had in-laws in town or family or friends, is just trying to keep the ball rolling and keep things going. And like, I thought that kind of goes with the other one too, being curious and just kind of, you know, getting everybody involved and making everybody feel like they're a part of what's going on. And that really helps with connecting with people and building deeper and more rich relationships.
Everyone here is wanted, right? Even the teenager who might have their head in the phone. I get so curious even about, like, will you teach me a little bit about social media? I have so much to learn from every single person at that family gathering.
Yeah, that's a really good point in asking people about their interest or what they're doing and trying to pull everybody in and get them involved. I like that. I totally agree. How about you, Dave?
Yeah, with this one, my tips for, especially, I'm going to go, I know listeners are all over the place, but I'm going to talk to our listeners who are maybe relatively new, coming into a family, maybe it's their first or second or fifth Christmas party or gathering. So our perspective is that we love it when the in-laws or those who are dating some of our children, perhaps, or even the in-laws dating others, we love it when they're a little bit more outgoing. Now, all personalities are different. But it really does something when they come up to me and introduce themselves and to talk with me instead of sitting back in the corner. You know, there's a lot going on and it's getting loud and kind of finding a quiet place on the couch and avoiding people. For us, it's kind of a little bit of a turnoff because we want someone, because our family and our personalities and our kids are a little bit more outgoing. And so don't be afraid to lean in. It's maybe a little bit uncomfortable. You don't know this one weird uncle or this aunt that's strange, but lean in, get out of your comfort zone a little bit And it shows a lot. It shows your willingness. Hey, this isn't how our family party happens, but it shows your willingness to learn and your humility to get up and to lean in a little bit, lean into that uncomfortable feeling a little bit instead of isolating yourself is my tip.
Yeah, that's a good point. I think when you get uncomfortable, sometimes you really discover profound things about yourself, or you have a really awesome experience just getting out of your zone and trying something different. I agree with that. What's next, Liz?
You know, I was just thinking about that one just real quick. Sometimes I kind of like last night, the family party was, it was my aunt's, so my uncle's family, right? So not really blood related, but I'm invited to that wonderful event. I love it. Benny was out of town. So it was really nice just to kind of luxuriate in that evening with, I didn't have a lot of pressure to get back home quickly or to worry about Ben being unhappy or uncomfortable. So I did kind of sit on the couch, held a baby whenever I could. There were three of them to hold, which I loved. And sometimes it is just kind of fun to observe, to watch those relationships. So I guess there's a place, right, for all of it. As long as I'm not sitting on the couch shrinking, going, oh, I don't belong here and no one's talking to me. Right. So I love all those points. Sometimes in families, it's not a bad idea to have an exit plan, right? Not always, but sometimes you got to know when is long enough to stay in the heat of the family action. And like I said, you know, if Ben had been there last night, I probably wouldn't have stayed the 5 hours. That wouldn't have been fair to him, probably, or very fun. So sometimes less is more. Not all situations or families require that exit plan, but some do. So perhaps agree on a signal or a code word and agree to remove yourselves from, you know, any situation that might be potentially damaging before it crosses the line. You know, we want to leave everyone wanting more, not less.
I agree. I totally agree. It's funny. My wife and I have a little thing we'll say to each other if we're ready to go somewhere or break things up a little bit. It's always, have you heard the new Elvis album?
That's so random. I like it.
And nobody gets it, you know, but we know. Oh, it's time to. I'm not comfortable right now. Let's change things up or do something different. Other than that, though, I can really relate to having an exit. I have a family member that I love dearly. They've been so helpful when we needed them, and you can really, really rely on them whenever for whatever reason. But we do have personality clashes. So I kind of try to, when we're together, I just try to maybe pace out the time, maybe 2 hours at a time, and then go off and do something else. And I can do that for maybe 2 or 3 days before it starts getting a little, you know, things will come bubble up a little bit. So I always try to maintain that and have a plan of how to handle it and be relaxed and have a good time. That's what I mean.
Yeah, important points, Rex. I love this one, Liz and Rex, because I can see this one. I think is important to see the other person's perspective and be respectful. And it goes both ways. Okay, so I'm going to play kind of devil's advocate, both sides, because let's say that one of you is, this is the most wonderful time of the year. This is the party of the year, the biggest event. And let's say one of you absolutely loves it. You know, it wants to be the first one there and wants to be the last one to leave. They don't want to miss anything. And this is their jam. You know what I mean? And the other one, I think you have to be careful instead of keep looking at your watch or like tapping her or texting her or him and, you know, hey, can we go yet? Can we go yet? Type. That can actually cause some of this. And so you have to be on the same page, whether it's code word or, hey, let's stay about this long. Things can change, you know, once the party gets going. So, man, this one can be a really tough one, I think, for a lot of couples, because especially if it's, you know, one person's family and they love everybody and the other one doesn't feel as much and wants to go. So forcing one person to go or another one to stay can be really difficult. The whole thing is just being understanding of each other. This awareness, this kindness, this respect. And yeah, you know, my wife, she likes to stay here. So I'm not going to make a sleep, you know.
Oh,
it's nice. Just being careful. Be wise with this.
Yeah.
Part. Yeah.
It's time to go some enjoy couples. The new Elvis album.
Yeah.
Yeah. Some couples I work with, they will take, if the party is close by, they'll take two cars.
Oh.
And let's say, you know, one of them wants to help clean up and do the dishes and they send their spouse and kiddos home maybe. So I think there are other ways to do it too. We have this agreement. We've not taken two cars yet, Benny and I, but that's certainly an idea if one of us were really interested. His family's a little bit further away, so I think we'd have to stick together. But my family's pretty close, a couple exits down, so we can do that. Anyway, good thoughts. I love talking with you both about these things.
Do you prepare in advance, though, when you go to a family gathering, Liz? Like, you know you're going to take two cars. Oh, yeah, this is Liz really likes this thing, and Ben's going to stay for a little bit and then go.
We haven't done that yet, but you know where we do take two cars, which I really love, is to church. You know why? Because I'm usually late. Benny is usually early. He has earlier meetings than I do. So I love the fact that if I'm a little late, I mean, I'm a little frustrated with myself, but then I haven't made him late. So I'm so grateful for that. That's where I really love two cars.
I can relate to that. Sometimes my family go to church on Saturday and I'll go on Sunday where I can actually pay attention and not have to be quiet. Sit down. I can really get into the liturgy. So I can relate to the two cars thing too, there showing up on time and stuff like that.
It's beautiful about your Catholic faith. There's more than one meeting to go to on the weekends. That's
yes, great, right? Saturday does fulfill the Sunday obligation. So,
yeah, that's great. Let me toss out another tip for us. And this one I call learn to deflect. You know, at some point, most of us, we're going to hear advice. We're going to hear opinions from an in-law that just doesn't work for us. But so rather than becoming this nuclear reactor, as I've talked about in the past, and reacting emotionally, it's a good idea to maybe practice a neutral response, right? That can be pulled out on whenever these occasions pop up at these family parties. For instance, you could try, you know, someone suggests something and you'd be like, oh, you know, that's an interesting idea, or man, I'll have to think about that. Now, if the in-law or the person is just persisting and, oh yeah, you should really do this, and let me call my friend, and like, I'm not sure, you can say maybe, hey, that's a good idea. I think we're going to do it this way. Or, hey, that, you know, what we're doing right now seems to be working for now, but I appreciate the idea. So learning to deflect some of that comes from maybe some of these family parties or in-laws. Either of you have thoughts about that one?
I like that. You know, just the idea you gave us a few beats back about the family member who said, you guys put up Christmas on November 1st. You're one of those people. That's a great example, right? It's like, you know what? You could be right. That might be a little early for many people, but we love it. We can't get enough of Christmas. So you could be right. And here's kind of what we decided for us. We just love it. We don't have to agree. We don't have to even disagree necessarily. It's just like, you could be right. And it's a little early for many people, but we love it.
Yes. Instead of taking the hook, because I've seen other people be like, you're such a Grinch. You're a Christmas hater, right? That type of getting defensive and launching something back. So that's what we're talking about, is learn to deflect it, to accept it and be like, yeah, you know, we're one of those families. We love celebrating as early as we can, instead of zinging them back, which can be difficult to do, right, Rick?
Yes, I can actually relate to this. I remember when I first moved here to Utah, and I had my car shipped out here, just deflecting a bad comment. And I remember the guy dropping the car off and being like, it was middle of winter, so it was like snowing, and I don't know, maybe he was from Florida, but he's like, man, you live in the middle of nowhere. And I'm like, isn't it great? I love it. And he was like, yeah. So just responding with positive energy or yeah, it's great. We love starting Christmas early or whatever it is, usually diffuse negative comments that you're not, you know, not, don't let somebody rub off bad on you, you know?
Yeah.
Embrace it and do something good in response.
Yeah, I love it. Liz, what are your thoughts on that?
What are the tips do you have, dude? Well, I don't know if I have any. What necessarily? Sorry.
I think another one you brought up. You mentioned one earlier, Liz. I want to touch upon it. Just get everyone's thoughts on this one, and that is the kind of the criticism or being critical of each other's families. You know, for example, I could maybe say something. Man, my daughter really needs to work on this, or my son, yeah, didn't have the best game. And so I can, you know, say those things, but it feels like when another person says something about, you know, my mom, for example, you know, I get really defensive, even if if it may be true, or there are these tendencies, or my in-laws or families, my family, I can say things, but if anyone else does, for some reason, that's a trigger, right? And I get a little defensive. So it's beware of the criticism. Don't jump. So the tip to our listeners, don't jump in and necessarily dogpile on that criticism. At least kind of go neutral, or you can talk about it. If you feel like it's safe and you know, and this is a topic that you've talked about for years, but even then, be careful about going further than the person has said. Does that make sense, Liz and Rex?
Yeah, I know this. It goes back, right, to if I can speak about my family, but you can't, right? I know my intention, but it's hard when my partner might join in, and it is real tough. And my husband does have some hard feelings against a couple of my family members, and that was, you know, after my father passed away and the division of property and selling things and extended family. And it's tough. It's tough when I hear him. I've let go of a lot of things, and he still is very defensive. Because why? Because he loves me. And he thinks that his anger towards them, I guess, is somehow protecting me. Doesn't necessarily help me, but I also need to allow him to have his feelings, right? I'm not going to change my husband or extended family members. I have to allow all of them to really have their feelings about the relationship and really kind of honor all of them, even when it might be hard.
I can relate. Because I think anybody could relate to, they probably had some experiences with their in-laws or family or friends or whatever it is, mm-hmm. that have kind of left an imprint or a mark. Yeah. But I always try to remember, and it's not always easy to remember this, but is to be empathetic and be like, you know what, I'm only seeing like a picture of what this person may be going through, or maybe there's something else is bothering them to make them say this thing, or maybe they feel jealous. I don't know. You know, I try to consider that whenever I hear something like that. And like you say, deflect too, or just, oh, okay, that's an interesting perspective. And just move on, roll to the next thing. Don't focus on it. Don't let it take over the moment that can be really, really good. That's how I relate to it. Kind of going a step further, something I have learned, advice I got before I got married that I've found so, so good for my wife and I, is never complain about your spouse to your family or your friends.
Nice. That's a great direction.
Always, you know, that's another thing, is family might take it oh, is that what's going on? Oh, you're much better than that. You know, you need to, that can really poison a well, or change perspectives and then turn families against each other. And anytime if we have any issues, we work on those together with ourselves. We don't share that with family, or we seek, you know, counsel outside.
Yeah. That's great advice, Rex. Cause you, long after maybe I've forgiven Ben, family members may not, right?
Oh yeah. Well, they won't even know. They won't know the resolution. They'll just know about the problem.
That's right. You know? Well said.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't share everything. So yeah. You saw the issue, you didn't see the solution. So I'm not even going to share the issue with you.
Excellent point.
Yeah.
We'll be right back after this brief message. And we're back. Well, let's dive right in. Rex, I love that point on criticism and being able to not criticizing your spouse, and especially in front of others. So I think there's been a lot of great tips shared related to family, related to in-laws, and how that actually affects the marriage connection, as we talk about today. So as we wrap up, Rex, do you have a tip for us? What's the key in your mind for a stronger marriage connection?
I'm going to have to go back with... Don't share criticisms or issues with family or friends. Keep those between you and your spouse. And if you need to, go to, you know, seek counsel. But I think sharing any arguments or problems you may be having with friends or family, they're not going to see the solution. They're just going to see the issue. And then they might always kind of, that's going to affect the relationship between them and your spouse. And you want everybody to be on your team and pro you and your family and your spouse. So I say that just keep your issues between you two and possibly a professional.
Yeah. Yeah. Well said. Yeah. Great, great tip. What about takeaways of the day from our discussion today? Liz, do you have a takeaway of the day from this topic of family and in-laws?
You know, I'm thinking a bit about my own situation and in-laws and relationship to my husband, Ben. We've been married 10 years. And what I have learned through the years, and this brings it up, this topic today, is to allow Ben to have his relationship with others where I don't meddle. So if he has a hard feeling towards somebody on my side of the family, I'm going to have to let him work that through, right? Instead of saying, gosh, you really should forgive. You know, it's been a long time. I've gotten over it. I'm not hurt. You're just upset because they offended me or hurt me. You thought I need to just allow him to be. So I think my takeaway of the day is to allow people to have their own connections across the board without meddling. I'm responsible for my feelings and my relationships, and my partner is responsible for his.
I really love
Dave,
that.
What about your takeaway?
Yeah. Thanks, Liz. What about, Rex, what's yours first? And I'll share mine.
Okay. I would say my takeaway is I like those steps you gave. And there was two of them that really, really worked for me is get curious, just be curious with people and learn about them. I think people love to talk about themselves or the things that they're interested in and they like to share that. And also have an exit plan, you know, just be ready. I can only maybe take this person 5 minutes at a time, 2 hours at a time, and just go and prepare for that. I think if you're ready, you can exit smoothly and without any ruffled feathers. So that's my takeaway.
Mm-hmm. And Dave, your takeaway?
Yeah. You know, as I've been thinking about this discussion, I think part of it comes down to this idea of understanding, of having compassion. I think the holidays in general can raise kind of the anxiety, can raise the maybe a little bit of tension, can raise the stress level. So I don't think it takes much, I guess, to tip someone over the board, a flippant comment at a family party or something. You know, I'm tired. I'm a little bit more stressed out. There's a lot on my mind. And so for our own ability to slow down, to take a breath, to not take offense, you know, choose to be patient with your partner, be patient with an in-law, give people the benefit of the doubt, I think is a great gift. So being able to slow down and not get caught up in the thick of thin things. Don't let things be blown out of proportion. And I guess my closing tip is remember, in the end, it's people that are more important than problems. It's people, it's relationships. So don't let these differences, especially at the holiday, ruin relationships, I think is my tip.
Do you still tell that to your kids as they leave for school in the mornings? I really love that.
I do. Yeah, Liz, I do. Yeah, hey, don't forget. Yeah, people are more important than problems. Yes.
Great tip. Great tip of the day for all of us. Thank you.
Yeah.
I love that. That still rattles around in my head. I actually had a neighbor's son hit my car. I was parked in the street because we haven't worked out on the house, and he broke the taillight. And he rang the doorbell. I was like, oh, I'm sorry. I broke your taillight. And I'm like, oh my gosh, thanks for telling me. His dad was there. And his dad was like, I can't believe you're like not upset and angry about this. And I was like, well, something I've learned is people are more important than problems. So I shared that from Dave because I learned it from Dave. And I really do love that, Dave. I really think that should be on a t-shirt.
Yeah.
It's so good.
That's great, Rex. Thanks for sharing that. All right, my friends, thanks for joining us for another episode of the Stronger Marriage Connection. We'll see you next time.
And do remember, it's the small changes that create a stronger marriage connection. Bye-bye now.
Thanks for joining us today. Hey, do us a favor and take a few minutes to subscribe to our podcast and the Utah Marriage Commission YouTube channel, where you can watch this and every episode of the show. When you hit the like button and leave a comment, your feedback helps us improve the show. And don't forget to share this episode with a friend. You can also follow and connect with us on Instagram at Stronger Marriage Life and on Facebook at Stronger Marriage. Be sure to share with us what topics you want us to explore or what you loved about today's episode. If you want even more resources to improve your relationship connection, visit our website at strongermarriage.org. where you'll find free workshops, webinars, relationship surveys, and more. Each episode of Stronger Marriage Connection is hosted and sponsored by the Utah Marriage Commission at Utah State University. And finally, a big thanks to our producers, Rex Polanis and Alexis Alcock, and the team at Utah State University. And you, our audience, you make this show possible.